Blog Talk Radio.
They said we
spells it longer.
Absolutely.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone. The best in music, too. Spend some time in the country. We've been waiting here for you. Here in the country, waiting here for you.
Live from Ontario and heard around the world, welcome to In the Country with Dave Woods. This is the place for up-close and personal interviews, as well as great country music from our featured guests. So sit back and relax. Today's show starts right now.
Alberta country artist Craig Moritz joins me on the show today to talk about his current single, They Don't Make 'Em Like You. He also has a brand new song that will appear on his next CD, and we will get an early listen to it. All that and more to talk about with Craig Moritz. Welcome back to the show, Craig.
Hey, Dave. How's it going?
Hey, it's going great. How are things out there in Alberta?
Warm and sunny today, so it's all good. No more blizzards. I hope we're done with that. Things are looking up.
That's good. We're getting into the good weather now all around, which is always good. Now, we're going to be playing a new song that you sent me, which you said was a demo, and it is going to appear on your next CD. Now, I understand is this the tune there's quite a bit of buzz about down in Nashville?
Yeah, I started, I joined the Nashville Songwriters Association about a year ago, and I didn't really pay too much attention to what they had to offer, but I got online there, you're bored late at night, and I just started kind of checking out what they're all about, and, they have this evaluation thing that where they... You can send in your song, and then they got professionals that have been, hit songwriters that have been in the industry for 20, 30 years, right. And they'll critique your song, and give you some honest feedback. And if they like it, they'll suggest it to their pitch to publisher meetings, which they have quarterly. So what it is a bunch of publishers in Nashville, 60 to 80, maybe 100 or something like that, and they pick so many songs out of however many they get in submitted, 500, 1,000, whatever it is, mm-hmm. and they'll play your song to these publishers and try and get some interest and get some publishing deals for you. So
wow.
I submitted that song and a couple more, and back-to-back I got picked out of all these hundreds of songs, and I got lots of meetings and follow-ups, and I've been going down to Nashville a lot this last 2 months, I'll tell you that. So.
So, and the song which we're going to hear, Only When You're Lonely, that was, I understand, co-written with the multi-talented Steve Fox.
Yeah, we just we sat in a room, and I love writing with Steve. He's so creative, and he can write, he can write from pop to country to, whatever you want. And I just kind of said, Steve, I want to do a country record, and I've been, I think it's time, and I've tried all the rocky stuff, and it took me about 3, 4, 5 years to find out the kind of stuff. I always loved that, traditional sounding stuff with a little bit of a modern edge.
Sure.
But I also wanted to get radio play as well, and want to start known as a new artist. So I guess timing-wise, I couldn't really do that. But now, that's the kind of stuff I've been writing, and I kind of wanted to stick to my guns. So anyways, we sat in the room, and we hammered out the song, and we just thought it'd be funny to write a song from a girl's perspective, all things that a girl would, women usually say all the terminology, like, piece of meat and booty call and all that stuff, but have a guy singing it, and talk about metro sexy shoes and all this kind of stuff and waxing his back and, all the stuff he's doing for her, right? And then she just blows him off at the end of the day. So I think we got something pretty funny there, and it's great, and people are digging it. So we play it live a lot, and it's going over really well.
Yeah, it must be great to be able to obviously play it live, and then you can kind of judge the response, and obviously if the crowd goes crazy for the song, that's a no-brainer to include on the next album.
Yeah, it's very cool to get to do that, and, the more you can do your songs live, and plus you work them out, they can become better, and you think of different arrangements, and the fan response is huge. You have some idea. You're not just taking a shot in the dark, like picking a bunch of songs, going in, recording them, and then letting the fans hear them for the first time. So at least you have some kind of a judgment call of if the songs are going to go over well or not.
That must be pretty neat to be at one of the writers' nights in Nashville and or at one of your concerts, either way, but to be debuting a new song that you really believe in and think is going to go over, whether it's a ballad or an up-tempo, and then the audience really gets into it, and that must really confirm what you believed about the song.
Absolutely, and you know, especially with the whole Nashville thing, it's, you know, it's a little overwhelming, you know, for me at first going down there, when I did some follow-up on this song, you know, I couldn't believe that the professionals that were just saying, "Hey, you're on something really great here, and just keep sticking to what you're writing, and it's going to work for you." I did not expect that response at all, but I'm overwhelmed, and you know, it kind of lit a fire under my butt and got me motivated again. To pursue this thing and stick with it and stick on my path. So.
Is there any thoughts out there from people, whether it's publishers or people you've talked to, that have said not to do something very country? I mean, obviously it's country music and we all love it, but, you know, has anybody said, you know, that might be a risk because of what's played on radio and trying to get played on radio, or is that something you'll just, it's sort of what you want to do?
Well, it is a risk, and if you ask, you know, 10 different people, you're going to get probably 10 different answers from, like, right. I met with some publishers that, you know, didn't like the song because it was a novelty song, but then, you know, I met with some huge publishers that said, this is a smash hit, and so it's, like, kind of all over the map, and if you look, kind of look at radio from what I've been hearing, it's been really poppy and contemporary stuff, you know, and it's been all great, you know, Rascal Flatts and Lady Antebellum and all that kind of stuff, and but I think you know, I don't want to put my foot in my mouth, but I think the market is starting to get saturated with that kind of style. I mean, Lady Antebellum is a little bit unique for what they are.
Sure.
But I think everyone's trying, all the songwriters in Nashville, like not all of them, but, you know, I'm just kind of making a generalization, but everyone's trying to write that kind of stuff. And then, you know, I hear on the radio this brand new artist comes out. His name is Easton Corbin. He's about 24 years old. I don't know if you've heard the song yet, but
a little more
kind of. I thought it was George Strait at first, but you know, the guy sounds great, and the song is pretty much as traditional as it gets, and it's just an honest, simple country song, and he got a number one hit out of that, and that's, and I kind of thinking, thank you for doing that, and thank you for radio for playing that song, because it's kind of opened up the doors for the format to start changing a little bit. So.
Yeah, it seems to be that way when I look back on country music. Whenever the pendulum swings back, it's usually like a Randy Travis comes along or one or two artists do something very well traditionally, and that sort of allows the sound to change a bit. So guys like Easton Corbin with a little more country than that, you know, now all of a sudden the traditional sound is probably going to come back around.
I'm hoping so. You know, I like that that the early 90s, you know, even the late 90s stuff, fun, hooky stuff, the Joe Diffies, the Mark Chestnuts, you know, Alan Jackson, all that kind of era. And I think it was a really fun time for country music. A lot of fun songs came out of there.
Tons of great songs.
And I think there's room for that, and people are ready for that again. And it just, you know, you just got to keep it modern and up to date. And I think there's going to be a good market for that. So I'm hoping anyway.
it sounds awesome. Well, let's play the next single, and I'll just have you, or your current single, and just have you talk a bit about it, the song They Don't Make Them Like You, which is your current single at radio. If you just want to, Craig, tell us the writers on it and a bit about it, and then we'll share it with our listeners.
They Don't Make Them Like You, that was the first song I wrote with Byron Hill. Yeah, we were hanging out down there, and it was over the weekend or whatever, and Easter in Nashville, and I was just kind of sitting around, and I didn't think huge hit songwriters wrote on Sundays usually, and they usually don't, but Byron called me up. I guess he was bored on Sunday because he didn't have any family around. He said, Craig, you want to come over and write a song? And I said, okay, I'll be right there. I'm not going to turn that opportunity down. So I go to his house, and he said, I got this cool hook. It's called, you know, They Don't Make Them Like You. You know, they broke the mold. So he played, you know, what he had kind of started, and he spit out a line, I spit out a line back and forth, and it turned out to be a pretty great song. I'm pretty proud of that for a first write with him, and he was excited about it. So when a guy like that gets excited about a song, you know, you think you got something there, so...
Yeah, and can you share with our listeners, Byron Hill, some of the artists that have recorded his songs?
Oh, he's had so many artists record his songs. Alabama, I think Ronnie Millsap, Joe Nichols, just a ton of them. I think he had about 14. George Strait, I think George Strait's first number one was first or second, Foolhardy Memory.
Okay.
Just a ton of tunes recorded, and I think he's got 14 number ones. I'm not really sure on the stats, but then he's got a bunch of, you know, top 10s and top 20s, and he's got gold records all over his living room, and he produced Gary Allen, one of Gary Allen's albums, and just a huge talent. And he does him and Gord Bamford are quite the team right now. They have been for the last few years.
Yeah.
And so him and Gord Bamford collaborate on a bunch of stuff, and they're having a lot of success with Gord's stuff, so which is
and
good
Gord,
to see.
Gord's doing the traditional thing too, which is great. So
he is, yeah, it's very cool, and he's always kind of been that way, and he stuck to his guns, and it's good that he really didn't have to change a whole lot, and people are starting to be receptive to his music, and he's having a lot of success, and he's one of those guys too where those are great fun songs, and people like to get out there and get dancing and hop in their truck and crank up the radio. So
for sure. Well, we'll get our listeners to crank things up here with the song "They Don't Make 'Em Like You." This is Craig Moritz. It's from his current album "Down and Dirty," and it's the current radio single as well. Here's Craig on In the Country. Like You. That is performed and written by our guest today, Craig Moritz, on the line from Alberta. And from that album, the album called Down and Dirty, produced by Dean Sams of Lone Star fame and Dean Miller, son of the legendary country singer Roger Miller. That must have been great working with those two on that album.
It was really cool. Dean Sams was my first opportunity to go to Nashville and start writing. I met him at a show in Calgary, and I got to hang out with the band and stuff. And we decided to work together, and he said, we need to come down and start writing songs. So I did, and at that point, my husband was with Dean, and then we were kind of going to work together and promote it and stuff. And then so we recorded five songs. I came back to Canada, and I think 2 days after I come back to Canada, Lone Star breaks up, and they lose their record. Richie loses the band, and so that whole plan kind of changed because they had to regroup and find a new lead singer and get out and rehearse and try and find another record deal. So I was left with half an album at that point, didn't really know what I was going to do. And so a few weeks went by, and then I just get a random message on MySpace from Dean Miller saying, hey, I was just kind of surfing the net, and I checked out your stuff, and it's pretty cool, and are you planning on doing an album? And I said, just so happens I have half of one done, and I need to complete it. So what's your schedule like in the next 3 weeks? And we decided to talk, or we talked a bit back and forth, and I went down and finished another six songs with Dean, and which was really cool. My project was a little bit rushed because I was kind of nervous. I wanted to get it done at that point. I'm like, what if something else happened? So I wish I could have spent a little bit more time on it. I am proud of it for what it was, but I mean, you learn things every time you record an album, how to do it smarter, and what areas you need to take time on and stuff. But
sure.
All in all, we got some great songs, and the guys were really cool, great musicians, great engineers, and all that stuff. So.
And the album is, I think it's available if people, I think it's, one of the links through your website, craigmoritz.com?
Yeah, it's on craigmoritz.com. And there's also, I think there's a link on MySpace as well. There's iTunes link, and you can get it right on iTunes and stuff like that. And I think it's also available off the royaltyrecords.ca website. And, a bunch of different places you can pick it up.
Cool. Now, on the new album that's going to be coming out, any idea, first of all, when that's going to be available?
I'm not really sure. We were kind of I'm going to start cutting tracks, actually, on Tuesday in Nashville. I'm taking off again to get it started. And I kind of wanted it out for June, but I just don't think it's gonna fly. So maybe the fall. I'm thinking, depending on, I got a bunch of different ideas for collaborations. We're trying to get a duet here on one of the songs with Mark Chestnut, and we're trying to get Pia Anderson. Yeah, it's really cool. There's a couple songs on there, and one in particular that, if he's willing and to do a duet, I think it'd be just killer. And I've been talking with Pete Anderson, and he's interested in doing some guitar stuff. I always loved Pete Anderson's work, like with Dwight Yoakam and all that kind of stuff, that whole Bakersfield sound, and he's interested in doing some stuff on that. So scheduling wise, it might take a little longer to make all this stuff happen, so I don't want to say a date for sure, because I just really don't have a clue.
Sure, but no, it sounds very exciting. Definitely collaboration with Mark Chestnut and just the overall sound of it. Do you have a producer picked out for it?
Not really yet. I'm working with a guy named Eddie Gore. He's kind of he just did a Phil Vassar record. He's kind of one of these up-and-comer guys in Nashville right now, and his wife is an A&R person at Universal, and the guy's just super cool. We hit it off. He did some demos for a friend, and they sounded really great, and I went down and met him, and I mean, I'm all about working with people that, you know, I can see excelling in the business and that like to work with you, and then they have the talent. And so at this point, we're just going to cut some tracks, and we haven't really talked about full production on the CD, who's going to do it yet. But I don't really know at this point who's going to be the actual producer or executive producer. There could be two or three of us on it. I'm not sure.
Keeps things interesting. Well, let's turn to the music now. We've got some moments left to talk when we come back, but the song Only When You're Lonely, which you co-wrote with Steve Fox, and has got the great response through the NSAI. Now, you had mentioned this was sort of a demo. Are we sort of getting a sneak peek of the song here?
Yeah, absolutely. I went in with a great friend of mine who's an engineer in Calgary at MCC Studios named Johnny Gasparic, and I said, I got these songs that I wrote. I need to do some demos because we need to try and get an Alberta government grant to help us kickstart the CD. So I took my band in and worked with Johnny as engineer, and we kind of did the arrangements for the tune and submitted a couple demos, and I guess they were good enough to get the grant, so I was pretty happy about that. And
that's cool.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy for bringing my own band into the studio and how well it turned out like that. So you just never know how it's going to turn out. So
yeah, well, this one turned out great. It's a good solid country song, as we've talked about. So let's share it now. This is Craig Moritz and Only When You're Lonely here on In the Country.
You only love me when you're lonely.
Alberta's Craig Moritz sent a brand new song to appear on an upcoming CD sometime later this year. The song is called Only When You're Lonely, co-written along with Steve Fox. I love the piano and the fiddle on there, too. They really stand out, Craig.
Yeah, it brings a little honky-tonk vibe to that song for sure, so it's kind of cool how it turned out.
For sure, yeah. I've just got a couple of moments here. I wanted to close with asking you if you've got a favorite classic country song that you like to cover when you're performing.
I don't know if it's not. I guess it wouldn't really be a classic, but we started. We learned "Bop" by Dan Seals, and
nice.
We've been playing that for the last couple months now. And the crowd just goes insane when we play that song.
That's an awesome one of my favorites of his.
Yeah, I love that tune, and I do some other Dan Seals stuff, but that one is just so much fun to play, and just gets everyone on the dance floor and a lot of energy in the room. So.
That's awesome. Well, thanks, Craig. We're just about to wrap things up. Been a real pleasure speaking with you again, and really looking forward to the new country CD coming out later this year. All the best.
Thanks, David. Great talking with you again, and you take care.
Awesome. We'll be talking again soon. My guest today has been Alberta country artist Craig Moritz. Be sure to head over to craigmoritz.com, M-O-R-I-T-Z, and you can find out more about him. I'm Dave Woods, and that wraps up this edition of In the Country.
Spend some time in the country, we're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country, leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone, the best.